And here we go again. Welcome to another episode of Creative. Today's a good day because I get to speak to a very smart man. His name is Steve Stavs. He is a biohacker, and he's going to tell us how designers should actually sit. This is another episode in our series of how to protect your creativity. So how should designers sit? We'll find out after this. Maybe let's start with you. Let's start with biohacker. What is a biohacker? That got me.
It's really about DIY biology, doing it yourself and taking accountability of your health, Pete. I think that's important. The government's not going to look after your health. Your doctor's surely not going to take accountability of your health. Medical professionals aren't. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to take accountability of probably one of your most important assets that you've got. And so it's about using different techniques, using different hacks, different tips, pieces of advice to really optimize your health and performance. So the official definition we've put out there on my website and the blogs that we've got is biohacking is the art and science of assessing and evaluating your internal environment, which is your body, and the external environment, which is where you live and work, and making the necessary changes to optimize your mind, your body, and your soul. It's really about health optimization and performance optimization.
Okay, when you use the word hack, it kind of says to me that you're cheating the natural system.
Well, you are in a way, because a lot of the systems are using to save you time and save you energy and save you resources. So that's where the hack comes in. For example, let's just say you're measuring your heart rate or your heart rate variability, or how many steps that you've done. Once you can get to those steps and you can quickly optimize that, then it can save you time in the gym. It can save you time, you know, in terms of the resources that you've got. And that's where the hack comes in. You know, there's some nice exercise hacks that you use that can, you know, get you the same performance instead of doing 45 minutes, you know, state ready cardio that has been shown to be not as beneficial as high intensity interval training. So that's where the hacks come in. It is about, you know, decreasing your time and your energy and your resources that you might have used without knowing the feedback.
What I wanted to talk to you is bring it from an angle that seems unnatural, right? So in my industry, or certainly in the industry of the audience, you know, we're designers and creative people. And unfortunately, in life, we've kind of been given the death sentence of the chair, right? We sit in front of the computer day in and day out. And let's be honest, lockdown hasn't dealt us that time off that most people have got. I mean, the designers are sitting there even longer periods now. And I always call it getting into the zone, right? So we rely very heavily on getting into the zone, meaning the creative zone, where you're in your sweet spot, you're churning out ideas, and that's really what we strive for as designers, right? And if our creativity is our currency, right? Our creativity is what we rely on to make a living. We obviously want to be in that sweet spot for as long as possible. Now, we can rely on external stimulus. We can rely on music, I guess. We can rely on location. We can rely on books we read and that kind of stuff. But let's break it down. Let's look at stuff like health, right? We can look at diet, I guess. We can look at fitness. But let's break it down to something as simple as how should a designer sit? For me, that's big. And I'll give you an example. This morning or last night, it was cold in the office, so I went home and I actually lay on the bed with my laptop, mistake number one, and did a little bit of work. This morning I got up and reached for my coffee and I pulled my neck out. You know, something really as simple as that. So what do you say? Like, you know, give me your thing. How should designers sit? Is posture a big thing?
Look, posture is very, very important. But once again, I want to give the audience or the viewers an understanding, a bigger picture understanding of what ergonomics is, because ergonomics is how the human body and the human individual interacts with their working environment. And this is really, really important. And there's a lot of studies that we can get into the weeds a little bit later, Pete. But we need to ensure that we are in the best position and posture possible to maximize different parts of our body, like our spinal alignment, like how our systems work, our organs work. And, you know, what I've said to my patients over the last 23 years, being as a physician of Chinese medicine, as well as the biohacking community that we're building up, is that movement is the most important throughout your day. So is posture important? Yes, but movement's more important.
Okay.
And so even if we don't have the greatest posture, we want to continuously move from sit to stand, to walking, to stretching, to push-ups, to sit-ups, to little things that can make a significant difference to get blood flow going. So if we move on to the topic of posture, the most important thing that I can recommend is really getting a sit to stand ergonomic station. Why? There's just so much research on what happens when you can move every hour from sitting to standing, even if your chair is not ideal. We'll get into chairs as well. But standing has been shown, even they did a study of bus drivers that stand 50%, you know, and sit 50%, and their heart disease decreased by at least 55%. So there's a very, very powerful agent that you can use from sit to stand that can change your health from spinal alignment to heart health to cancer. The research is really unequivocal in terms of how it improves your general health and well-being.
So quickly talk to me, sit to stand. So do you mean you can sit and work effectively and you can stand and work effectively? Is it one of those sort of, you can stand on the laptop?
Correct. And I mean, I've got it here. I'm busy standing now. And my shoulders are, my keyboard's just in front of me. My shoulders are not raised. My elbow's at 90 degrees. My keyboard's close to me. My mouse is close to me. And I can actually show it like this. You can just see here. But it's in this position where I can reach everything in this range. I don't want to be reaching out like this. This is called the L range, which is very, very important. And that's where you want the things that you use the most to be in this position.
Right.
And then it's a simple stand to sit, is we can just put it down straight away like this, Pete. Okay. And then I've gone all the way down, and then I've got my chair that's already been set up to ensure that my shoulders are not raised, my elbows at 90 degrees close to my body, and I've got the keyboard and the mouse. My chair is obviously an ergonomic chair. We can talk about that with back support, but literally in seconds, I can go from sit to stand, and I probably change that position every 15 minutes if I've got a call or if I'm on a Zoom meeting or if I'm doing a document or email, whatever the story is. Just that change in movement is significant in terms of your musculoskeletal function, but not only your musculoskeletal function, your heart function. I mean, they've done studies on what happens to your glucose levels if you stand after lunch. I mean, you dramatically change your glucose levels. You don't get the glucose spikes is if you stand after having lunch. Now, you talk about creativity, you talk about that afternoon slump. As creatives, you don't want that afternoon slump.
No.
When you're feeling exhausted. So if you stand for those 2-3 hours, your glucose levels are going to be far more stable. That's going to allow you to get into that zone far quicker and far better.
So you're saying that there's evidence after you eat, if you stand and work, it assists your glucose levels, or it stops them from dropping as drastically as if you were sitting?
Well, it stops the spike and the down. It's these spikes that when we eat and we just sit. That's right. Why you feel much better if you eat and go for a walk. Well, it's the same premise with when you're standing. If you eat and have a meal and then stand and work, you're not going to get the significant spikes and the significant drop downs, which affect your performance and your well-being.
Of course.
And so I say to a lot of my clients, I say to them, make sure that if you're at least going to have a nice lunch, then stand afterwards. It's going to improve your performance, your well-being. Not going to get you sort of that sort of apathetic, lethargic feeling after having a meal.
So this kind of working at home on the fly or sitting at a coffee shop where you're not too sure, you know, what the heights and stuff are going to be long term, that's kind of bad, right? So short term, that's okay. You can sit at a coffee shop and do your thing. But keep in mind, you were talking about the L motion. That's very interesting to me.
And also, once again, the biohacking is self-quantification. And that's what I love about biohacking is you got to look at the numbers. How many steps have you taken? How many calories have you used throughout the day? And so what we do is we sit for 8 hours and then we go to the gym at the end of the day for a hard, high-intensity interval training workout. And we think that we're active. What's far more important is to be active throughout the day, to be moving, to be changing. Some gentle stretches, maybe. I mean, you do one push-up, a day, that's 7 push-ups in the week that you haven't done. Even if you get to 5 and you do a push-up or a sit-up or a I've got my own kettlebell here. I do 1 or 2 little deadlifts during the day. These little movements just help blood flow. They change your position. They're very, very good for your mental and your emotional well-being.
I mean, I think that's great. Like, so even if you kind of put that in your diary, you know, so your diary pings you every hour and you sit on a Bose ball, do a couple of sit-ups, or you're touching, you know, maybe doing a squat or two or something like that throughout the day. That can do wonders. I mean, it can get the blood flowing and probably get you, keep you in the creative zone, I guess. I mean, I don't know exactly, everyone's different, but you know, keep the brain going, keep the blood flow to the brain.
Absolutely. And I mean, the study has been shown. I mean, they did a 2015 study by a lady called Carr, and I mean, she showed that something significant like 84% less fatigue by having a correct ergonomic workstation from sit to stand. 83% improved general well-being, 62% improved comfort. I mean, this is well documented. I can send you the studies as well. You can put them in the show notes or use them. But I mean, this is significant changes in sort of just the way you feel, the discomfort that you may feel. And I say to patients and clients, I say, the most important is get a good sit to stand, because you're going to save time going to the chiropractor, the costs of going to the physio, what you need to do, changing, you know, decrease work time and productivity time. So for me, these are like basic fundamentals, especially with the pandemic now and people working from home. The number of injuries we've seen because people are sitting on dining room chairs, they've got poor ergonomics, they're sitting on couches, they've got laptops on their laps. And I mean, that's not even talking about electromagnetic radiation in terms of what that does to our functioning. I mean, the science has been irrefutable that having your cell phone in your pocket affects sperm quality, your motility, your morphology, and your number, your count. So just radiation. Now you put the laptop on your lap, you're having significant effect on your fertility, and that's been shown. So we've got to use these instruments that we've been given in terms of work correctly and safely. And that's where something like biohacking or education, as a geobiologist, which I am, electromagnetic radiation specialist, says, hang on, you know, using Bluetooth in your ear, not a good idea for many hours. Try and limit that, cable it. Don't put your laptop on your lap, because that's going to have a significant impact on your health and your well-being. Ensuring that you've got the correct distance from your screen. Light, we can talk about light, but I'll leave it at that, and we can sort of go down different rabbit holes that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about, before we get into light, because that's a big one for me, right? So a lot of time, okay, let's, before we get into that, now, you know, this kind of discussion is getting popular, not popular, but there's more light being shed on this at the moment because there's more people that are affected by it. I mean, personally, I've had physio on my shoulder once throughout lockdown. Now I've done it again. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of, I'm kind of aware of the way that I sit and those kind of things. But now you reach your 40s. How do we undo the bad posture? How do we undo? Is what you're talking about going to help with that, or is it just to start good habits now?
Look, at the end of the day, it's an individual question that, you know, everybody's, you know, needs to ask themselves, because the severity of the condition, you know, how long they've suffered with the condition, how many hours they spend in a genetics play a role, how much exercise they're doing to loosen up those areas, you know, what their breathing's like. You know, there are multiple variables and factors. Yeah. Sometimes you can reverse it totally. Others is going to need interventions in that. My views, and one of the greatest books that I read last year was James Clear's Atomic Habits. And what I learned from it, and which was really, really important, is you start somewhere stacking habits. And is that every 15 minutes that I change my position, I do one push-up, or I swing my arms around, get some exercises going, use a TheraBand, stack little habits that don't feel like there's a whole to-do list in a day, which just overwhelms a lot of people. And see what habits really, really help you, because everybody's individual and has got different conditions. I mean, lower back pain is the number one reason that people in the US have complained from what we call morbidity or days off. So 80% of people in their lifetime will suffer from lower back pain. So that just tells me if you can get a sit to stand, stand more, walk around. If you've got a Zoom call, which is what I'm doing now because I've got a lot more Zoom meetings all over the world with clients, is I'm putting it on my phone, I'm cabling it into my ears, and I'm doing this Zoom call while walking around. Now, walking is very, very good. I mean, Hippocrates, which is one of my mentors, said, man's best medicine is walking. So it's incredible as a mode of treatment to walk around. And with technology, if we can use it, then let's move and talk and have meetings as best as we can.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So point one, sit to stand, right? It's going to help you tons. Two, when you're on a phone call, go for a walk. Get up from your chair and go for a walk. These are such easy things to do, right? Let's talk light. Tell me about light. What is light? How does that affect you directly?
Look, I think light in terms of if you don't open a window and you think you're getting sunlight by, I mean, I've got a window over here, which is nice. We keep one of the windows slightly open because when you've got a window, it cuts 40% of infrared light and red light that comes from the sun, which is very, very important to counterbalance the UV light that you find UVA and UVB in sunlight. And now we've determined that UV is dangerous. In fact, it's not dangerous at all as long as it's balanced with infrared and red light that comes off the sun. The sun is the most perfect sunlight if used correctly, and it's very dose dependent. And I give the example to my clients. I say, do you think that good spring mineral water is healthy? And yes, it is. But if I say to you, Peter, drink 25 liters in a day of good, healthy mineral water, is that healthy? Obviously not. So it's dose dependent. Dose dependent. Dose is the most important. And we don't want to get too much sun that causes burning, but we want to get significant sun in our eyes and on our skin, which has a huge impact on our circadian biology, our circadian rhythm, our hormones like melatonin, there's hormones like dopamine, things that are involved in sleep. And so sunlight is important. That's another thing that I would suggest is have the window open, go out for a walk, get as much sunlight as you can without sunglasses, but do not cause any burning. So you might have to improve what we call the solar callus, where you gradually increase the amount of sun you get. Now, light within the office is very, very important. I've got a little infrared light on my desk here that shines because we don't get enough red and infrared light in the day.
When you put your hand out like that, I can see the red. And I was going to ask what that was for.
That's a very nifty little biohack. It's called the Sauna Space Photon. It sits on my desk, shines infrared light because we're not getting enough infrared during the day being indoors. Yeah. LEDs, as much as they've saved a lot of energy, are very, very toxic for our health. They have a significant flicker rate, and the blue light that comes off them is damaging to our hormones, to our health. It dramatically affects in terms of our circadian biology, especially at night. So one has to be aware of the light that you expose yourself to. Our eyes have UV receptors to receive UV light from the sun. They were created to see the sun, especially the sunrise in the morning, which sets up a whole bunch of hormonal changes. So I think, once again, if we look at these environmental factors, they're really, really important for our well-being, and they've been there for generations. Whether it's cold, whether it's hot, whether it's sunlight, they're there to cause a change in our bodies, a hormonal change, and improve our health and our wellness.
Amazing. What else is there that you think could be an amazing hack to somebody that's stationed at a computer all day?
Look, one of the simple, most cheapest hacks is a product called Iris Tech. It's a software that you download, and we've been a partner for a long time. It stops the flicker, and people will know that if you take a little video of the screen, there's a flicker that you will see the whole time through your video, either your phone or video camera, which we don't recognize with our eyes. Now, that flicker has a detrimental effect on our nervous system, on our neural structures. and cause a myriad of problems, from headaches to migraines to epileptic sort of changes in our bodies. So the flicker is important to get rid of. That's very important, because flicker causes damage. And then basically the program works with where you live in the world and your circadian rhythm. So at night, my screen goes orange if I'm using my computer, my laptop. My phone goes orange. And I mean, this is something that you can probably see straight away, that this is what my phone looks like at night.
That looks difficult. That looks harder to see than anything. But I suppose you get accustomed to that.
Yeah, and it's far better than the night mode. The night mode that they put on, unfortunately, is really insufficient on the phones. I mean, it's better than nothing. But at night, we should have candlelight, we should have yellow, we should have oranges. My phone goes orange, my screen goes orange. I wear orange glasses at night, not to break the melatonin that's supposed to be released. And it's so important for our sleep. And sleep is a foundation of our health. And people are wrecking their sleep by using devices. And so Aristech is a basic, simple, very cheap product that you can download and head off to matetribe.co.za and have a look at our partners there, from our glasses to Aristech. And we've got some good deals for the community because some of the stuff is really affordable and cheap. So, Aristech is another one. We've spoken about your laptop screen, or your screen should be at eye level. So that's important there. If you've got two screens, they should be at the same height. The one that you're using the most should be in front of you. The L range for the keyboard and the mouse. Movement, sit to stand, is probably the most important hack I would, suggest to people. Move around as much as you can. Some basic like exercises from your physio or chiropractor. I mean, those are the things you can do. I think getting outside, if you can work outside, it's far better. I mean, the research has shown that people that, are indoor under bad lighting and not outside have a 3,000% increased chance of getting melanomas. And melanomas are found in places where the sun doesn't shine. So, my podcast has uncovered how important the sun is. Once again, dose dependent. But being under fluorescence or LEDs is very, very detrimental to our health.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I didn't know it was that high. Some of those stats are mind-boggling. And as you say, it's all dose dependent. So the idea, I suppose now we can go back to the biohacking, and now you can explain a little bit better about the biohacking, because to talk about that up front made no sense. Now we understand that it's an individual process. It's an individual that feels their own body, their own system, and gets to understand how they achieve those levels of creativity. And if you are feeling like you have hit a creative slump, you need to understand why. A little example was the standing up after having something to eat. Those tiny little hacks that you can build into your life. Am I right in saying those are the kind of things? So it's a personal thing.
Absolutely. And some of them are free. Like, one of the most important things for your hormone, your energy, your well-being is to watch the sunrise. The sunlight is supposed to be getting us up in the morning, and that changes your hormones dramatically. I mean, there's a lot of people would have a circadian mismatch. They up late at night, they're gamers, they don't have the proper protection, and they're getting significant problems. I mean, shift workers have a 35% increased chance of developing cancer. I mean, that's proven, that's shown. So if you break your circadian rhythm, which is often things that you can change very easily, free things, can make a huge difference to your performance and your energy.
Sure. Love that, Steve. Where can people find you? Where can they find your stuff? Where can they listen to more about what you've got to say? All that stuff.
I think the best is to go to the website madetothrive.co.za. You'll find the YouTube channel links there, the podcast. We've got a podcast that's now in the top 2% of all podcasts worldwide, called The Made to Thrive Show. And we stream on like 8 different channels in that, whether you're on Android or on Apple. That's a good place. We're on Instagram at Steve Stabs ZA, on Made to Thrive ZA on Facebook, Steve Stabs ZA on Facebook, and on LinkedIn at Steve Stabs. So those are the social media channels. We put out a lot of content, a lot of videos, some things that are really free for people to change and other things that are going to cost something. But at the end of the day, I always ask my clients, I say, how much do you value your health and your performance? And I think C19 has been good for people to realize the healthier you are, the better you are going to get through this pandemic. And there the research is unequivocal, is that I think 95% of hospitalizations in America had chronic disease. They had one or more chronic diseases. So I think never more has health been important to people. It's just that people are uneducated and unaware of what to do and how to change things in their life. And here we are to sort of inspire and empower people to really live a life of thriving in this world. And I mean, we all love tech. I mean, Peter, I love that I can talk to my folks overseas. We love tech, but we got to use these things wisely. Otherwise, right, they're going to detrimentally affect our health.
All right. So you're not against tech as such, you know, because tech has brought us all together and has changed the world, right?
Absolutely. And I think there's a place for it. But once again, it's not non-use, it's correct use. And I think that's important. And I don't think that message is going out there. There's a reason why Steve Jobs would not allow his kids to use the iPad at all. There's correct use. And I think it's causing probably more damage than good at this stage. I'm really happy for the biotech space, and that's my, you know, my field. But I think people have been dramatically affected. And I see it with now with my children online. I mean, doing online schooling takes 30% more energy to have meetings online than in person.
Yep.
And a couple of sociologists have released books like The Village Effect, which is an incredible book showing that you're far happier and healthier when you have face-to-face meetings. So it's to really to incorporate the new way of doing things, of course, but at the same time realize that it does have an effect on us as human beings and our interaction.
Love it. And lastly, Steve, the Made to Thrive website, is it just information based, or can you actually get the hard goods like the tables and all those things from you as well?
Yeah, it's got the products that we spoke about, from the sit to stand Veridesk that we partner with. It's got the Iris Tech links there. We've got it under special deals. We've got all the products. And then probably more important that we haven't spoke about is a coach, because people get disillusioned. There's a reason that people, you know, put on weight after losing significant weight. They put on their weight within 5 years, or put more weight on. 80 to 95% of people don't sustain their transformation. And a big part of the business is coaching, health coaching, wellness coaching, executive coaching. Why? Because we need coaches to help us along the journey of life. We need them to input into our life, ask the questions, for us to be accountable to them. So I'm a big believer in community bringing about change. I mean, there are too many people that have bought a sit-to-stand desk or a great ergonomic chair. They don't know how to use it. They've stopped using it. Why? Mm. Because they haven't had the coaching around that. And I think fundamentally important. So it's a service-based and product-based website. You can find a lot of information, but actually can action.
Nice. Are you a coach, or do you work with a bunch of coaches?
Yeah, I'm an executive coach. I went to Gibbs and did my executive business coaching there. I'm a health coach as well. We've got 8 consultants online. We've got a breath coach teaching people how to breathe. We didn't get into that, how important that is. Probably one of the biggest, most important pillars in health that people haven't been, you know, adopting. 90% of people do not breathe correctly. They don't realize how they should breathe or when they should breathe and what rate they should breathe. And it's causing significant problems. But we've got these health consultants and coaches online to help, you know, different aspects of life.
It's the idea of breathing, right? It just makes you want to breathe more. When you think about breathing, it makes you feel like you're not breathing deep enough, right? It's like, it's a big problem, you know. Is it shallow breathing that's the problem?
Oh, look, number one, the biggest problem is 50% of all people are mouth breathers, and breathing through your mouth causes significant problems. We want to breathe through our noses, in through our nose and out through our nose. We actually don't want deep breathing. We want low breathing, which is low breathing is to make sure your diaphragm and your lower parts of your lungs expand. So people take a big deep breath and they go, that's probably one of the worst things you can do. You want to breathe through your nose and you want to open and breathe low.
Yeah.
And actually breathe breathe very light, which is really, really important to the different parts of your nervous system that engage different parts, different hormones and things like nitric oxide in your nose, which are very important for your health if you breathe through your nose. So nasal breathing is probably something that I'm teaching all my clients, all my patients, because it's, you know, it's so important for your health. It's one of the foundations of your health. And because of different factors and variables like toxicity and dryness and things in life, we're not using our nose like we need to. Mm-hmm. And so we bathe people's mouths at night and we teach them how to breathe and we assess their breathing and give them exercises. It's fundamental to their health.
Amazing. Steve, thank you. Thank you. This is really, it's really enlightening to actually think that it's tiny little things like that, you know, that can make a world of difference. And it's habits that you can form, right? It's things that you can just start to do. Tough in the beginning because it's not natural, because you've gone down a rabbit hole of bad habits. And once you start to build them up one at a time, they'll make the world of difference.
Absolutely. They're game changers. And you know, everybody's slightly different. You've got to find out where your big bleeding point is and plug that first and then build a foundation, you know? So I think my message would be everybody needs a health coach. Everybody needs a health consultant, even someone to have a look at the data that you've got and help you along that road. And I think there's a huge chasm there. And hopefully we can bridge that chasm because, you know, doctors were not created to help you with your transformation. They were created to diagnose and help you with relevant medicines or supplements, but they're not there to walk a journey with you. And most people need a journey. They need someone to connect with, to help them along and ask questions so that they can go on a road of self-discovery. And self-discovery and having those eureka moments is what brings often sustained change. When you see the things that you've implemented in your life make, you know, dramatic changes in terms of the way you feel and move and engage with life.
Right. So how does a life coach work? Well, not a life coach, what do you call it? A coach.
A health coach. And it's, we're trying to create awareness around that, you know, health coaches at Nature Thrive have been trained, you know, through different organizations and they trained in health and they're trained in coaching. They're trained to walk a journey and not tell you what to do, but help you discover what the things that you are going to do or implement and things that you love doing, you know, from exercise to diets, to your purpose, to the community that you've got. I mean, we're looking at social integration is the number one predictor of longevity. And people don't know this, your social closeness, your social ties, your social integration. And here we've got pandemic that says social distancing, probably one of the worst words we've adopted and unfortunately causing major, major problems that we got to distance ourselves socially. In fact, we need more social closeness than we ever have. But here the health coach would take you along and have a look at your social ties and have a look at purpose and meaning. And those things are big drivers of why you get up in the morning and exercise when it's a bit cold, or, you know, you've got to implement that routine while you're working, you know, to ensure that you don't have neck pain. Or so we need drivers, internal drivers that can help people stay motivated along the journey or the health journey, because it does take work to stay healthy. You know, the body and the mind and the soul needs work to stay healthy, just as anything that you want to maintain, whether it's your career, your family relationships, these take work and they take energy, but well worth the effort to ensure that these things are in place in your life.
And in general, is it a long-term thing? Is it a coach that walks a road with you for the rest of your life, or is it, what is the norm?
Oh, look, the norm is probably 6 weeks, once a week for 6 weeks. Some people do a 12-week journey. Some people will do it every second week. It depends. You know, my executives, I see them twice a month because they're really busy, or their CEOs are really busy. So we go through a health auditing process. We have a look at the data. I do biohacking coaching. So I look at the data, look at the numbers and give it back to them. So it just depends. We individualize it to people. Some people after three sessions say, listen, I just want to implement change in nutrition. I've had three sessions. Great. I'll talk to you in 3 months. So we like to see where the clients are, but you know, six sessions or 6 weeks is we try and keep that to sort of the minimum to bring about change and hear people's stories and put the health audits in place. I think is important. And, you know, less than six sessions, sometimes the patients or the clients do not get the change that they would like. And at the end of the day, it's about sustained change. It's about ensuring that if you adopt these, they're not adopted for 4 weeks, you know, or a month or 6 months and you're back to your old ways. We are looking at sustained change, and that's going to be the most important for your health.
Excellent. Steve, thank you. I love it. I love it, love it. And I appreciate your time. The world needs more people like you. Just to steer people, you know, in different ways. It's not, as you said, you don't tell people what to do, you're just guiding them. And appreciate your knowledge and appreciate your input on certainly on my subject. And I look forward to chatting with you again, maybe on something else at a later stage.
Brilliant, Peter. Thanks so much for your work. Thanks for the invite. And, you know, it's always an honor and a privilege to share the things that I've learned along my journey. And I'm a lifelong learner. We're learning more and more, and we're trying to implement and institute as best as we can. And can't say I'm perfect at all, but I'm habit stacking a lot of the things that have you know, allowed me to stay healthy and strong and help other people and live out my calling and my purpose. I think that's, you know, fundamental. We've got a saying at Made to Thrive, that's TGIM, that I'm really trying to get out there. Thank God it's Monday. And Monday is a day that is as important as Friday. And it's a narrative that I'd like to get out there, because people are waiting for weekends. They're waiting for holidays, Pete. They're waiting for leisure. But work and calling and purpose bring significant meaning and fulfillment to our lives. And so I'll leave you with those words, TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. And it's my favorite day of the week.
Excellent. Love it, Steve.